Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the Deepest Lore. Vidi well, brothers, vidi well. It's that time once again, Thursday afternoon. Maybe you've got afternoon tea, a pot of tea and a cake, if you're here in good old Blighty. Or maybe you've got, if you're in America and it's the morning, you've got a mug of coffee. Some of you will be at work. Others will be working from home or doing whatever. And I like to think that the Deepest Lore, I'm still trying to get this show established in people's minds. Slightly different time, late afternoon show, where we discuss matters of culture and art. And I'm trying to get people to think of this as a nice chilled out stream, an oasis of calm, if you'd like, an oasis of calm to get away from the madness all around you. Forget about the election for a while. Forget about the fact that big tech overlords are currently trying to take over the world and meddle in American elections. Forget about all of that. Because here, we're just going to try to zoom out, to try to get away from all of that, and instead look at some aspect of culture and think about how these things permeate through down to the madness of the everyday level. So what I want to do today is I have a selection of advertisements, TV adverts, or commercials, as Americans say, and I want to look at those adverts, and we'll just kind of take it very chilled out. We'll have a look at the adverts. My buddy Pharaoh is gonna drop in. I also dropped Semagog a line. I don't know if he's awake yet. Don't know if he's awake. But if he is. If he is, he can jump on as well. And we're just going to have a look at the commercials of the 1980s. They're British commercials in the main, to see how the values of the culture as permeated through advertisements may have changed between then and now. So we're thinking of, we're going to be, in a way, deconstructing what the values of the 1980s were as depicted, as represented to the people through advertisements back then. But we're also going to think about how these messages may have changed between then and now. Just before I came on air, I saw a fellow YouTuber in the Discord, Bob Doyle, saying that basically any little bit of messaging nowadays can be seen as some sort of advert for a globo homo, as he calls it, or the agenda basically is naked with every single bit of messaging that you get from what Bob Doyle would call the cathedral. And I think that's right, but I also think that there's an extent to which that has always been the case, taking something like Edward Bernays's propaganda into account. I just think it's interesting to think about what it is that is being pushed at any given moment. So let me just drop Pharaoh a little line here. So he said he's going to jump in as soon as he can. So I just dropped that into him, and I'm going to try to get before we start the stream up on my iPad here, so that I can see the chat, because when I'm watching something, I often don't have enough window space available on my laptop, but I will be able to have a look at the chat, so I can see hello everyone. I can see Jack McCurdin's in there, who's got a little sugar icon next to him. Fantastic. Adam Morgan is there. Tara Sophia says, is it ASMR? Yeah, it's the closest to it. And what I like about these afternoon streams is that it gives some other people a chance. You know, it's not always the regular crowd. There could be some people who generally can't make it in the evenings because they're busy, but they can make it into the Thursday streams. And, you know, it's kind of cozy little weekly stream. You know, not many people watch this compared to Unpopular Opinions or the Scar Stream. But hey, who cares? I like the friendly, cozy little club. So anyway, let us now think about beginning. And I'm going to share my screen. I just want to make sure everybody can see this. You can see this. This is a compilation of UK adverts, and I'm just going to make the screen big. Now, let me just make sure everybody can hear this. So,
something extraordinary is happening to Cadbury's Crunchy. An extra light-hearted honeycomb centre. More delicious Cadbury's milk chocolate.
Sound good? Yeah, can you all hear it? I've turned it up. So hopefully people can hear that. Somebody's saying shill the course, my guy. Yeah, absolutely. Please do sign up to Foundations of Economics. Somebody suggested that I make the little introduction that I've got there and the reading list a free preview. So I've done that because some people were suggesting that if they could see what, you know, the intro and the reading list, they maybe, you know, help to make a decision. So I've done that. Sales of that are going very well. I've got quite a lot of students now, let's say at least 50. So that's fantastic. And I hope to keep on growing it. I reached out to Dr. Steve Turley earlier on. I've offered Turley the chance to get on board as a revenue partner to because I want to utilize his talents as a salesman, you know, and reach his audience. So let's see. Maybe I'll be a business partner with Steve Turley soon. I really hope so, because I've become slightly obsessed with watching his channel recently. So anyway, let's $1 trillion bill with his Soul's Basic Economics, 20 quid on Amazon. Listen, $1 trillion bill, I know you'll layer me up here, but Soul, he's great and everything. He's only going to tell you basic Chicago price theory as laid out by George Stigler in 1948. That's not really the whole story of economics. You know, there's a lot more to it. So I'm afraid you won't learn the foundations of econ just from basic economics. Okay. Yeah, I hope Steve Turley accepts my invitation also. And honestly, I think we laugh. I think the guy's got a genuinely infectious energy, and I've been watching him ever since we did that cigar stream reviewing him. I kind of unironically just started watching him now. So yeah. All right, so let's carry on then. As the eunuch has just got up. Good morning, Yiz. I hope you're enjoying a morning coffee, or maybe a weak lemon drink. What do you drink? OJ. We're just going to watch some adverts from the 1980s, and have a little go at deconstructing them on the fly, and just enjoy it. Just kind of luxuriating, getting away from 2020 for a while, because Lord help us, we could all do with a bit of escapism. So. Here we are. This is an advert for Crunchies. Are Crunchies still sold? I feel like Crunchies are still in the shops, but I haven't had one for years. Anyone had a Crunchy recently? When was the last time you saw a Crunchy? All right, so let's have a look at this little advert then. Yeah. Yes, she. He says she got up at 5:30, but she is having some juice. Yes, Crunchies are still sold, apparently, says Not Damn. No, I wouldn't say Sowell is an economic illiterate who can't add two and two together. I'm just saying that this Sowell will really, really doesn't give you much more than supply and like basic supply and demand, supply side economics, basically. That's basically he really does. You've got to remember, Sowell's writing those books for like a middle-aged woman sitting in Nebraska or something. Whereas, my course is also designed for the middle-aged. Well, if you're a middle-aged woman in Nebraska, I'd encourage you to sign up to Foundations for Economics. But, Farrow is going to come on later on, Will H. So, okay. Let me just go on then. Okay, so
altogether 20% more. Thank Crunchy, it's Friday.
Oh, hold on, Farrow has arrived. Let me get him in. He said, "I'm here." Hello, Farrow. You're right.
Yes, I'm very well. Thank you very much.
The way you said "I'm here," there's a wonderful skit of the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, right? In the 1980s, when Ted DiBiase tried to buy the world title, famously. In fact, he did buy the world title from Andre the Giant. But then, after that came to naught. Because his plans were thwarted by Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage. DiBiase then went to make his own belt called the Million Dollar Belt. And there's a series of skits following DiBiase going to this kind of upscale jewelers in New York. he wears the most ridiculous cape you will ever see. And when he walks into that shop in his cape, he goes, "I'm here."
I need to get the cape. Clearly, that's the.
So you need to have a cape to wear.
Yeah, exactly. That's my new thing. Also, I like how you bigged up the Crunchy, and then the advert was literally like 2 seconds long. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah, it was a really disappointing advert. Chris O'Neill has just joined the Thomas Sowell tier of the channel. Congratulations, Chris O'Neill. And let me tell you, if you're a Thomas Sowell tier member, you can actually get a discount for Foundations of Economics. check your community tab to get the special discount, because I like to I'm very grateful to my Thomas Sowell tier backers. They are the lifeblood of this channel. And they I don't big them up enough. So anyway, in fact, do you want to see that Ted DiBiase with the cape?
Let's do it. Yeah.
let me see if I can find it a minute. Because it is ridiculous. I'm here. So let's see if I can find it. Is it DiBiase? Was it? I'm here. Let's see if I can find that. let me just double check this. Sorry. I have to be a bit careful with WWE. They're very hot on copyright, but I think I could get away with playing a few seconds of it, because it is, you have to see this cape. it is magnificent. Right, can you see this?
Yep.
Look at this cape.
Oh, this is great.
Right, hold on.
I'm here.
I think I'll leave it with that. But
that's brilliant. Yeah. It's the red lining, you know. That's the sign of the class.
But anyway, you we'll be seeing a much more of this sort of Gordy's 80s-ness in these adverts that we'll be watching.
Yeah.
So yeah, you didn't think much of the Crunchy advert.
You know what? There is something interesting about it, and it's the fact that they went for a 20% more message. And again, that's something that we sort of lost in the 80s and 90s. It was all about getting more for your money. Or you'd get like the additional bar. Do you remember there was a bit of a period where you'd get like two chocolate bars in one? now there's all of this kind of, was it shrinkflation? Every single time I get a chocolate bar, I swear it's about 20% smaller than it was.
Yeah, well, that's the creeping nanny statism, isn't it? Of Boris, watch your weight, Johnson. Mm. Anyway, let's get away from the filth of 2020 and its own politics.
Sorry, yes.
Although it'll be a struggle to, because I've got a feeling we're going to keep on comparing 80s to now. Now, just before we go into this, a lot of people call the 80s the time that taste forgot, and you know, they see it as being gaudy and materialistic and so on. So it will be interesting to see how much of that is creeping in, because remember, this is like deep in Thatcher's Britain here. So there'll be an angle I'll be looking out. Let's have a look.
Oh, that's great.
Any thoughts?
Well, I wasn't around much in the 80s, but I do remember like the kind of cult that Perrier had around it. Like, it was insanely popular. I remember going down, I went to university at London, what's the road down to Soho or whatever? Anyway, Perrier had bought out this entire studio, like retail space, and put a single bottle of Perrier water in the window. And it's just like, I have no idea, how does a water brand manage to buy like space on this most premium luxury area? But
is it Savile Row, that road down there?
I'm trying to think. It's from like Knightsbridge Station down to Soho. I've forgotten. But yeah.
I'm thinking of making that my new entrance. I'm here. We should all do it. I'm here. When anybody jumps into a stream, that's what they should say.
I think we need a cape stream, really. You know, I think Pinochet is peak cape for me personally. But
all right. The only thing I will say about the Perrier advert is that it kind of evoked luxury, didn't it? They were going for luxury as the idea.
Yeah, and Perrier always leans into its, you know, the Frenchness of it. You know, a lot of the 80s is about bought sophistication. You know, the idea of these nouveau riche classes that are trying to, buy into that lifestyle. And by getting the French stuff, you are, an elite.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Another case for Inspector Connor of the Yard. A seemingly innocent victim, but the state of the victims and the vital clue.
Tangy, tongue-biting vinegar.
Lead Corner to the inevitable conclusion.
Hayward's pickles have bitten again.
Hayward's, the only pickles to bite back.
what do you make of that advert?
I think what we forget is, we're often quite nostalgic about stuff like the 80s, but obviously the 80s was nostalgic to other stuff, and you know, that was like a classic 40s and 50s black and white inspector drama. And it was just kind of playing into the romanticized elements of, you know, even the idea of a picnic had this kind of 40s and 50s thoughts behind it. So I think that's what they're trying to connect to. Remember your childhood, remember watching that TV from the past. You could recreate it with the taste, the vinegary taste. I think he made a specific point about that flavor. So it's all, yeah, nostalgia.
If you took the very best of nature and put it all together, you'd expect something pretty terrific, wouldn't you? New golden veil with corn oil and English butter. For the butter taste you want and the pure goodness corn oil gives. New golden veil. The best of nature. In a way, nature never knew how.
Now, obviously, the first thing I'm going to say is this golden veil is absolute filth compared to sugar Welsh salted butter. But what do you make of the wholesome country scenes of a nice big family enjoying themselves with some golden veil butter?
Yeah, well, this is interesting because margarine, I think, came onto the market in it was about the 60s, wasn't it? As the kind of cheaper, longer-lasting alternative to butter, but it often had this kind of quite negative connotation around like being produced by science in vats, basically. And say this entire advert is trying to rehabilitate the image of margarine. You know, the vegetable oil is, that's the margarine part, and then I think they blend it with butter so they can say, oh, it's an oil and butter spread. But this is kind of like this is like pure gaslighting. I think this is like, this thing is made in a vat, a chemical vat. There is nothing wholesome or countryside about it.
Is it the plastic case in the rustic, yes, setting is a bit incongruous,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice try though, Golden Vale.
I like the girl chasing gooses though. Is that a countryside thing? I don't know.
Yeah, plenty of geese.
He isn't like any man I've ever known. Pierre Cardin is his choice. But if you know a man like him, too.
So there was a little bit of that nouveau riche class thing that you were talking about, Pharaoh, in the Pierre Cardin advert.
Yeah, there's also this idea of power, and again in the 80s, lots of there's a bit of Orientalism coming in from like Japan specifically.
Yeah.
You know, things like the Art of War was heavily read, and there's the idea of, you know, you're wearing these power suits, you're eating power food. I think there was a book specifically all around it. I can't remember the name. But like I think a lot of the advertising around that kind of managerial class is around, you know, making yourself powerful through product. You know, if you, it's interesting how it's a product for men, but a man doesn't talk at all. It's all about what the effect the product has on women and how she thinks about you, that you're a powerful man. He just looks smug in the mirror.
Yeah, and I did get a little tiny hint of like Timothy Dalton Bond, or there's something about that look that they liked in the 80s as well. You know, this was probably before Timothy Dalton, but okay, let's carry on.
Oh, beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, sesame seed bun. To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese,
I'm just imagining you standing up right now, you're saluting this advert, a single tear rolling down your face.
I literally do have tears in my eyes. Do you know, it's very difficult to try to explain to people, but when I was a kid, McDonald's was such a treat. You know, in the little town I grew up in, obviously we didn't have a McDonald's. We had to go, I don't know, we had to go 20, 30 miles to the nearest city for it. And it was, you know, I'd only have it a couple of times a year. But the idea of having a Big Mac was just such a treat at that point. So
there's plenty of Wimpy Burgers, I remember. And they were just absolutely terrible. And again, yeah, McDonald's was a real treat. So, I think what's interesting about, again, McDonald's is the focus on product, about quality. Again, they're being upfront about what's going into the burger. And again, I think one of the reasons why they've done so well throughout their period is that they try and show the quality of produce, which normally doesn't happen in the burger joint, basically.
Yeah, I kind of like this is going to sound a bit dark, but like one of the reasons that I loved capitalism in the first place was this kind of fetishization of the product. And I feel like advertising has moved away from that. You know, now it's all about selling an idea, isn't it? Whereas this advert's very much making a virtue of the product itself. It's like, oh, salivate over this gorgeous burger patty bun and
the music was almost like some kind of like liturgical dirge. You know, it was like a priestly dirge to the burger that you must repeat.
I love the idea of this becoming like a prayer or something. Also, I kind of like the old aesthetic of the old McDonald's restaurants before they were all redone.
Yeah,
you know, this kind of
brown plastic everywhere,
brown tiling, and I don't know, it felt more solid to me than the new kind of ones that are these prefab things that get knocked up in a couple of weeks, basically. So. Because these sorts of McDonald's would usually be in an old high street, so it would be, you know, converted part of an old Victorian house or something, you know.
Yeah, Again, I think these guys were pretty pivotal for like rolling out the idea of like the cookie cutter place. Because again, if you go to Wimpy's and stuff, that everyone would be slightly different. I recall like you'd have a few things which are similar, but McDonald's really had that kind of homogenous brand identity through their retail locations. So it rapidly changed after that. The other kind of example.
Oh, that was nice. That was good.
The British passed the port.
Ah, the Russian passed the port.
Yes.
You see, that's good. Isn't that good? That's a good advert, though, isn't it?
Well, what's nice about it is that, again, they really know their audience. Port is, it's the elder gentleman's drink. Again, even like the idea of like a posh gentleman on TV blows my mind. You wouldn't see it in an advert like that. And certainly the kind of militaristic setting shows that, you know, they probably were in the war or, you know, were in military service. Because again, obviously port's got connotations with, you know, the Navy and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think it hits the audience and they like a funny pun at the Russians' expense. So I think probably very effective.
Also completely comfortable with the idea of class. Just completely comfortable with the idea that, you know, this is a guy who knows his port, and that's good.
Yeah, exactly. I think nowadays a port advert, they would have some kind of like, you know, here's a working class family, whatever. They'll just like not actually show the correct audience whatsoever. They'll just do some kind of politically correct version of it. So. Yeah.
Also, I partly blame the reverse snobbery of Damon Albarn for this. You know that song, Charmless Man?
Oh, there's yes,
something,
yeah.
There's something about that, because obviously Damon Albarn is a posh kid, not a working class kid, but yet there's a certain weird inversion. So the idea of knowing your claret from your Beaujolais, as Damon Albarn puts it in that, was seen as kind of charmless and nouveau riche and bad, whereas in fact, in this, you know, right here in the mid 80s, that was not the case. Or it was seen as something to aspire to. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, it's the same as, you know, Jamie Oliver, you know, where he like constantly repressed any poshness in his accent to have that kind of like, you know, Cockney drawl. I think the 90s is key for kind of like, you know, taking down these traditional figures through culture.
And yet, if you watch something like Harry Enfield, classism was absolutely rife in the 90s as well. It was just a different type. It was a different type of, you know, you think of the slobs and Harry Enfield, or, you know, the way something like Little Britain, you know, the Vicky Pollard or whatever it was, the chavs and all this.
Yes,
they were kind of an acceptable target for a long time.
Mm.
Up until Owen Jones wrote his book on the chavs, right? Do you remember?
Yeah.
And then,
anyway,
let's carry on.
Fleur du Monde, a fresh new classic fragrance created from the flowers of the world.
I'm just thinking that like Daughter of Albion could do so much with this advert. she could turn it into her own propaganda. But anyway, let's carry on.
Fleur du Monde, for the women of the world.
What do you think of that?
I think it's interesting because I think it firstly shows the you know, changing attitudes to women. So again, sorry to compare it to today, but the idea of calling a woman or analogizing her to a flower would be, you know, considered heretical. The flower is, you know, objectively beautiful. It is fragile. There is something temporal about it. And I think it goes against the woman as flower, goes against everything that the modern feminist stands for. So I think there'll be an outrage of that. I think it's also interesting to see that all of the kind of women are kind of sophisticated, but they're kind of housebound. So for example, you saw the woman looking out from the window. Maybe she's waiting for her husband to come home. There's a woman by the piano playing for the family or something like that. So there is that kind of idea of the upper middle class housewife who, you know, is a flower, is a beauty, but she's also sophisticated in the fact that she, you know, this idea of flowers of the world, you know, the you want that kind of cosmopolitan nature of it. So I think, again, you wouldn't be able to do something like this today.
But I also, I got the idea that it's upwardly aspirational, upwardly kind of...
Yes.
It's something for the... Because, you know, most of the women at home aren't going to be these women, but they're going to be dreaming of something like being like these women or something like that.
Yeah, right. You're right. If you can't, you know, because again, travel was a lot, very expensive. Maybe you'd go to France or something like that. But, you know, you can buy a slice of the world and become like a worldly person through your consummation.
Let us continue. The idea of like geese or birds in nature, women in nature, that's like a big thing in these 80s adverts, seemingly.
The whole nature thing is interesting because I feel like there is an active move to kind of push out nature from adverts. I can't, like you said, I know it sounds stupid, but I can't remember the last time I've seen a kind of like a bird or an animal in an advert, maybe the famous grouse or something like that. But the idea of the natural as beautiful and also like aspirational, because again, like whatever, you know, he lives in a house in a country, you know, a lot of these guys are buying nice houses in the countryside, while again, that's kind of probably poo-pooed and shunned by the elite of today.
L'air du temps, the romantic perfume, Nina Ricci, Paris.
See, it just unironically does not apologize for the romance it's trying to, you know, the romance and aspiration it's trying to try and live up to. Why wouldn't an advert like this work today? Or do we have our own version of this, do we think?
I think fundamentally that the women buying perfume, their kind of minds are just different. And I think then they wouldn't be responsive to romance in the same kind of nature. Now it's all about the empowering value that perfume gives you. You know, it's about, this is, you know, it's almost like, this is all about like a moment. You know, this is all about, you know, that creating that kind of setting and beautiful scene, while now it's about the perfume is going to get you what you want. I know there's a definite change in fundamental tone for cosmetics, I think. And I think you just wouldn't be able to do this kind of, you know, people would call it sentimental today, I'd say.
Yeah, there's also another idea in some of these adverts so far, which is the idea of exclusivity and trying to buy your way into some sort of exclusive club. Whereas obviously the drive these days is towards inclusivity, right? Which to me has always been counterintuitive, because value is driven by exclusivity, not inclusivity, right? Am I wrong? Like if something's available to everyone, it has no value by definition.
There is a sort of interesting paradox, and I'll give you another example, and that's the luxury's move towards streetwear in the last 10 years or so. So for example, a luxury brand creating a trainer would have never have happened 10, 15 years ago. But because streetwear has become so popular, like all of the you know, major brands are producing what is effectively working class clothes, but done to a you know, a luxury specification. And so there's that duality of, it's something that you could go down to Primark and, you know, you could get a trainer. But what they do is they you know, they add their own kind of signature style and taste to it, or give you the certain things where you have to be in the know to be part of the club.
Or something like the Dr. Dre Beats headphones. You know, in fact, I'm wearing a pair of £300 headphones, which I probably shouldn't tell you, but yeah, Mrs. AA got them for me about 3 years ago, and I know they cost £300. But that's the idea, isn't it? It's that kind of, you know, it was street, but now it's elite type thing.
Exactly. And again, there's always this kind of hidden language that the elite will speak. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of Off-White, for example.
Is that paint color?
No, it's like a fashion brand, for example. And that's kind of like super, super trendy, basically, over the last 5 years. And so, like, if you, there are kind of like certain brands that are super hot, that if you wear and have the signature item from, you know that you're all like elite in the luxury world, for example. So
I only mentioned Paint Pharaoh because when I moved in here for about a year, I was looking at hundreds and hundreds of different shades of bloody off-white. Right, there's a brand called Pharaoh and Ball. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Oh yes.
Right, Pharaoh and Ball shades of off-white, and they're all called things like, you know, elephant's breath and like horse's dung. And it was like, and it, literally for weeks, Mrs. A was showing me these panels, and I was like, "You've got to understand, I'm colorblind. They all look the bloody same to me." And they were like, "Oh, shall we have the horse's pizzle or the elephant's dung?" I'm like, "I don't know. I don't care. Just paint the bloody wall." Anyway, let's carry on.
Tradition tells of a Pills Lager and of a silent messenger's timeless search, his quest, that lager, the lager of Lamont. For a strong Pills with a taste beyond time, smoothness beyond dreams, seek out the lager of Lamont.
That's epic. That's the lager that's what Bronze Age pervert would drink if you could have luck.
That was the most epic lager advert. Like, again, I think what's great about it is, again, it's just unapologetic for what it is. That they know that they're targeting, you know, young men who are interested in kind of those kind of fantasy, you know, fantasy novels and magazines, etc. And again, I like the seek out. There's something of the kind of epic quest to the tagline there.
And, it is it's unapologetically masculine and Bronze Age, yes. Essentially, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And again, you are placed in. You never see, what's interesting is you never see the face of the rider. You know, you are personified as the rider there. You're literally masculine that you're riding a puma. An armored puma, and you're going to go on a quest to find your lager. I mean, it's almost kind of camp. It's that over the top, but you know, I love it though.
It's kind of interesting too, because I think it was playing into a number of different trends in the ether at this time. Clearly, there's a kind of a backhanded reference to He-Man, but there's there's also like Conan in the background, but also like D&D a little bit. And there's also a little bit of that Orientalism that you were talking about as well. There's something about the garb of this chap that he could be from Egypt as well as from any of the other places. There's something. So I feel like they're tapping into many trends that were around at this time. So yeah. Exactly. I don't know. It was good. It was good advert though.
I thought it was great. I thought it was brilliant. You know.
To reflect your highest standards, Nescafe Gold Blend introduce the seal of quality, your assurance of all the flavor of the finest Arabica beans. So rich, so pure, so smooth. No other coffee can surpass it.
Pure gold.
I never settle for anything less.
Reach for the Gold Blend standard, only from Nescafe.
Now, right. I will... I can exclusively reveal that I still drink Nescafe Gold Blend. I think it's much underrated as a coffee. I mean, it's £7.76, but it's great. I really like it, and I think it probably built up its name in the 80s, didn't it? These Nescafe adverts are famous, aren't they?
Yeah, like what? Again, this is the kind of true 80s luxury. The name itself, the Golden Blend. It's the top. It's the best you can get. I love the idea of the seal. And again, with all of these, the dehydrated coffee, you know, you've got that kind of seal at the top. And again, I love one of the favorite things about going to the coffee is opening up the seal with the spoon at the beginning. So again, you're evoking that kind of sensation. But even the idea of saying like, this is the top quality product, you know, it's literally as good as gold. You know, you just wouldn't be popular today. Again, it's, you know, it's loving the elitist factor of it. It's an upper middle class family. They're only choosing the best for themselves. And again, there's a bit of that Orientalism with the Arabica beans. Again, it's that mystery of the Orient in it as well. And again, the luxuriousness of the external.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of like innuendo, you know, I'll Nescafe your gold blend in a minute.
I like that she's just like shining her necklace in his face. It's like,
I know.
It's a bit of a dick move there.
Wait until I get my hands on your coffee beans. All right. okay, but that made me think, oh, that's a good advert though.
Another great advert again. And you know, they did really well. I think this was like named, I saw in the top 10 adverts of the 80s, basically. I saw, so.
Yeah, all right.
For men, what is remembered is up to you.
So that was a. I think he was in Oxford, and I think he was wearing again, it's yet another elite, right? Mm. All of these adverts have been geared towards a certain class of person,
or even just showing that class of person. Do you know what I'm saying? Because again, I think there's a lot of middle class people who want to live that life, the life of the elites. But yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Was it Oxford or was it France? I thought.
I thought it was Oxford, but I could be wrong. But it's the same idea anyway.
Yeah. Well, again, I thought that's great because it was kind of like they didn't show the beautiful woman or like the sex scene or whatever. They just saw the guy coming home after a great night thanks to his scent. Do you know what I'm saying? And again, it's just like that they've really focused in on the moment after the event. So again, it's really subtle but really clever. It's something that's been experienced by, you know, most people or whatever. So yeah, good advert.
Yeah, and it also gave me a flashback because my dad used to have a bottle of Paco Rabanne. I think that was one of his. I remember that. And I think he also had Old Spice before that, but he saw it as more of a kiddie. He saw Old Spice as something he wore when he was younger, and now he wore Paco Rabanne. So there we go. So it clearly worked because he bought it. You know. Anyway. Yeah.
It's worth getting that tagline there. That's brilliant.
So, I mean, one of the things that I can't help but think, though, as well, is that the idea of selling Baileys as an aspirational product today seems ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah, right? Well, they've destroyed their brand over the last 20 years, I'd say.
So, I mean, I don't know whether that's because it became available and affordable. But clearly, this is a seductive, sexy brand that, you know, again, it's an aspirational thing that you can imagine the sort of family in some old sitcom like Bread being like, ooh, Baileys, you know. Whereas now, we would all just think, Baileys is as to as penny as anything else. So you'd never see it as an aspirational product. So could they even sell it like that today?
Yeah, like I think part of the issue with that with Baileys is that they've sort of diversified their product range, where you can get Baileys chocolate, you can get mini Baileys, you can get loads of other. Do you know what I'm saying? They've just tried to flog it so hard that there's nothing of the brand left. You'll see a lot of these brands. You know, again, Nescafe was a luxury product, or like so not luxury, but like certainly like not your typical fare. But again, now it's just going to be ground down to nothing. But again, no, I really like the idea of Baileys the cream. It's the cat that got the cream. And again, like you said, it's just that kind of like moment of luxury. What I thought was interesting, again, you don't really see the people having the moment of the drink. You know, again, now it's all about drinking the drink, or here's the drink being poured into a glass. It's just almost this voyeuristic little moments and little vignettes around the drinking of the, you saw a shadow, didn't you, of the glasses being drunk. And I think, again, that's really subtle and clever. And I was genuinely surprised it was Bailey's at the end there.
Do you think, watching these adverts so far, that the quality of advertising has actually gone down in the past 30 years?
100%, 100%. I mean, like, certainly in terms of the writing, the thought behind them. Like, again, it's partly because I do think digital has a large part of it, where the best minds have gone to these kind of newer areas. And again, you've got to think about advertising campaigns have changed quite a lot. In the past, a large brand would put all of their money on one area, like TV. Well, now it's kind of split off into loads of different areas. You've got to spend 20% on influencers, 20% on Facebook, 20% on Google, and then maybe you get a 4AD advert. So it's the kind of lowest priority right now. So I think it's a talent and also a media thing.
I think that the people who make these adverts imagine that the audiences have become more sophisticated in some way, so they wouldn't fall for this anymore. Whereas I feel the opposite. I feel that these things are tapping into something that people want, right? Whether for good or for ill. And you could say that these all things are deeply manipulative, and they're actually like almost satanic, you know, selling you temptations, if you want to put it that way. But clearly there's something that these adverts do that work, whereas some of the adverts now do not. I was even seeing people in the chat saying, I fancy your Baileys now. I mean, it's like, you know, anyway,
yeah, I think there's an interesting point here. And again, I think psychologically today, people think that these adverts, like, people respond to adverts, but the adverts don't influence them. But I think people in the past, or again, certainly earlier understandings of, you know, again, thinking back to Bernays, you know, what's the difference between advertising and propaganda? Well, you know, advertising is just propaganda for businesses. So, you know, these adverts affect people at the same time. I think in my mind, it's undeniable. And in the 80s, at least, it was kind of like had this hierarchical or elitist ideas, you know, making people to aspire to better their lives, as opposed to just wallow in the mud of modernity.
Yeah. Or indeed selling them a socially constructed lie. Like, you know, the central heating advert, which has got some family that literally doesn't exist, you know.
Exactly. You're right, though, but it will affect people. That's, you know, I think people probably think that those families exist and they're much more common than they are, just because of the amount of advertising showing those kind of families, you know. So, like, I really believe that, you know, advertising, especially these kind of commercials, are a type of art. And, you know, you get something from it. You are changed by watching them, for good or for ill.
How many people are going to go and sneakily buy a Baileys later? I'm interested in that. Or look up.
You need to do a collaboration. You need to call them up. Sponsor my channel. I'll make Baileys classy again.
Make Baileys classy again.
Yeah.
Kellogg's, the original cornflakes and still the best. Golden, fresh, crispy, tasty.
I mean, look at the degradation. You'd never, ever, ever, ever be able to have the space or the time to eat cornflakes on the train in 2020.
And look how dressed. Look how they're dressed as well. Everyone's in seats. All the women in dresses. You don't even get that in the city nowadays, really.
Look how much we've gone downhill, I tell you.
Kellogg's Corn Flakes. Crispy, tasty, wakey.
That was in 1985. There was enough space on trains to eat Kellogg's Corn Flakes and everybody was immaculately dressed. What's happened to the world?
We need to go back to cornflake eating on trains. That's when we know we've made it again. Yes.
Yeah. this is some top American psycho shit here. I like
it. On the pulse. There's a pulsar on your wrist. Is your finger on the pulse?
Again, it's awesome.
That's great. I mean, we've got to talk about the car phone. I mean, that's probably one of the best things of the 80s is the car phone, isn't it? So, no, I mean, this is all about, again, just presenting luxury items. And again, it's kind of like you've got the car, you need the watch. You've got the CD player, you need to have the watch. You've got the phone and the car. It's kind of like the watch becomes an accessory to that lifestyle, basically. So again, and it's interesting. Watches are still today considered to be a very luxury, luxury item. When again, you can just buy a £1 Casio special, but they've managed to maintain that association with luxury still through today.
But just think of the damage this is doing to society, Pharaoh. It starts with this Pulsar Quartz advert, and it ends with Patrick Bateman stabbing a tramp down an alleyway.
there is something true about that. Where again, I think there probably are negative effects. But one thing I would say is that if you believe in hierarchy, elites will always need to show their eliteness. And it will always manifest in some ways. And if it's not luxury watches or luxury items, it'll be some other thing. So a lot of people are like, oh, advertising's... Even I saw Morgoth do a big thing about, women's handbags or whatever. You know, literally, the elite will always differentiate themselves. If you look through the material culture of history, the Anglo-Saxon would wear a brooch with gold, etc., to kind of show their status. It's just part of hierarchy.
But it's better the Pulsar Quartz watch than virtue signaling SJW values.
Yeah, exactly. I think where the problem comes in is when maybe you're espousing those values to a middle class or to a class that's like, I think Gucci sort of goes down that route where they sort of encourage people to mortgage, to max out their credit cards, to buy into a brand that they can't afford. Do you know what I'm saying? People should buy the products that's right for them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Let's carry on.
Brown, down, yellow, warm and mellow warnings. Make it bitter, make it sharp warnings. You want to drink it tall, make it dry, nice and light. Take your warnings how you like. Tis around it, will it sound? I forgot from warning.
Mix it with warnings.
What do you reckon?
Again, I think it's great. Again, I think Avocat, I think they really suffered in the 70s. I think it got really bad image, and I think they tried to revive it in the 80s. Again, this is all about associating with like luxury cocktail parties. I like there's sort of like a surrealist element with a guy playing a piano made of cloth or whatever. So there's something almost Dada-esque about it. Women's dressed like models. Again, it's just totally, totally elitist for what is a pretty rank tasting cocktail mixer.
Do you know, this is really, really making me want to reimagine my Foundations of Economics advert as an 80s, as an 80s aspirational advert.
You should have like a Patrick Bateman figure, and then he just like picks up his phone and says, "Yes, I did do the Foundations course. That's why I'm so rich," or something like that.
That's why I'm sitting here drinking Advocat with,
with my with the watch.
With my quartz watch.
This Polaroid instant camera actually has a computer inside.
Ooh, look who that is.
Yep.
It works out the exposure. You don't need a light meter. You don't have to measure distance. Focusing's done for you. And you don't worry about light. The built-in flash gives you just the right amount. That's it. Just press the button, then see it developing in front of your eyes. Just like this. Bright colors, razor-sharp image. Polaroid. Programmed for perfect pictures.
Now, I did notice that Hugh Laurie was playing the one non-aspirational character that he was a bit of a kind of klutz-type figure, wasn't he? He was like a everyman.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think obviously his background is like a funny man. So it's kind of like, oh, who can we get to kind of play the fool for this? But Polaroids are really interesting because obviously it was super popular at the time, but then sort of fell out of fashion because you're limited to the size of pictures and you could only get one. You couldn't get multiples. But there's a big resurgence now for Polaroid usage. You know, even people, you know, there's like the Polaroid filters and all that kind of stuff on iPhones, etc. But as like a product, I think it's a really, really iconic and really beautiful something really nice that came out of the 80s. So,
love is the sweetest thing. What else on earth could ever bring such happiness to everything?
Interestingly, this is our first person of color that we've seen. Mm-hmm.
As love's old story. Love is the greatest thing, the oldest yet the latest thing. I only hope that fate may bring love's story to you.
What do you reckon?
Again, what's nice about that is it's a short narrative. We're getting a little little vignette of a couple of fallout. Again, she goes off to her luxury hotel, sits down on a nice restaurant. Can you see there's a bit of an age difference between the two of them as well? And he drops the product, and all of a sudden she loves him again, basically. And I think again, it's showing when to buy. It's kind of informing people when to buy chocolates. When you've messed up, buy Black Magic and everything will be okay again. But again, it's still aspirational, elitist, and again, there's a classiness to it from the piano playing as you're eating the restaurant as well. I think that's a nice little touch.
Yeah, there's also as well, I would say, clearly the girl is a lot better looking than the guy. So there's the idea that if you too could be an average looking bloke, right? Hmm. And still win a very attractive woman over with this box of dark chocolates. also, I have noticed that there's a lot of these kind of settings, which are obviously exclusive sets. Not everybody is going to have this lifestyle. And I do wonder about, like, is it setting up a lot of people for failure? Basically, like, if you're growing up in, I don't know, Middlesbrough, how are you ever going to be this guy who's walking in this swanky club in New York? You know, because presumably Black Magic was available in Middlesbrough too.
Yeah, I think you've got a good point there. I think a lot of advertising has gone wrong is that it's sort of replaced the role of the family and the church and the community to teach people. So what happened in the past was your father would teach you how to deal with you know relationships, or you know what I'm saying, your family would teach you that. Now that doesn't happen, and so people just learn from adverts instead. So there is a negative effect to it, but only for these kind of like you know, the men without chests, these people without any kind of reason at the same time. So it's, again, I see advertising as like a neutral thing. It can be good and can be bad, but it's about the context of the people who watch it as well. So
Jane Seymour in Le Jardin de Max Factor.
Le Jardin.
They say romance is back in style. I say it never went out.
Le Jardin.
Le Jardin says it too. It says it subtly. It says
it's softly. No, just before we can, I've noticed this is probably the third or the fourth advert that has had this country, kind of country estate or country manor setting. You know, I imagine there's some geese outside. there is an alternative to the city, the swanky city setting, but it's still an exclusive setting. Like, this is obviously a massive house that would cost millions of pounds to buy, so...
I think there is something here about, because obviously in the 60s there was lots of country house demolitions. You know, they were not considered to be cool. You know, a lot of them went into disrepair. But I think in the 80s, a lot of these kind of nouveau riche started to buy them up, basically. And so again, it's part of that aspirational lifestyle. And again, that's why I do have a certain love for the 80s as well. It is kind of like, it is nouveau riche. There's lots of cringy things about it. But again, they love beauty and they love hierarchy.
Let's keep on going.
Just like me.
Le Jardin de Max Factor. The incurably romantic fragrance.
That's a great little tagline there. Incurably romantic. I love that.
A cleanser that goes beyond dirt and makeup to reveal a more radiant complexion. A cleanser that gently helps lift away the day's dull, dry skin to reveal a new, fresh radiance. Ulay Beauty Cleanser. Leaves your skin soft, smooth, and never greasy. Discover your natural radiance.
Pretty bog standard advert, I thought.
Yeah.
People everywhere are discovering Cadbury, which tastes even more delicious when they add a little milk and a knob of butter. But to make sure of a regular supply, what better than to get your own equipment? Not forgetting, of course, the instruction manual.
Or mash, get smash.
We can do something about bird.
I mean, that was clearly already very famous advert. This was like a...
Yeah, it's just a riff on that, isn't it? So
deep into the campaign, clearly. Although notably, the guy, again, was, as well as the Hugh Laurie guy, this was not an elite. This was just an average Joe.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's something to be said about the length of advertising campaigns. Again, in the past, stuff would go on for years and years and years. Think about the PG Tips Chimps? That started like in the 50s and went up to the late 80s. It's like 40 years of using chimps in their adverts, which I think, again, if you think today, brand kind of life cycles and identities don't last a year, let alone, you know, a decade. So, it's interesting.
Yeah. Thieves will think twice if you have proper locks. They're not expensive. They're easy to fit. You can prevent crime. Don't let them get away with it.
Yeah, thieves, get out.
I thought that's quite good because, again, the magpie, again, in parlance is, you know, they're always looking out. They like sparkly things. It's a good analogy for the robber without literally showing some guy creeping around. And again, that sounds super important. I like the soundscape. You know, them slamming the doors and hearing almost that gong sound.
So I'm just going to pause very briefly to see if there's been any super chats, because I'm sure there's been a couple. I'll read them and then we'll continue. Okay. I've been enjoying these 80s ads. Wasn't sure how this was going to go, but it's chilled out fun, isn't it?
It's just a gentler age, a more romantic age. I feel like I need to get some flowers after this.
I mean, you know, considering it's mocked as being the decade that taste forgot, is that true?
I don't think it's true at all. Like, if you think about what was it, the Avocat advert, that was kind of like some of the high street fashion. But I think, again, for women's fashion, the women are very, very beautiful. Again, the men are dressed in suits, which, again, I think it's like, you can't get much better. So I don't know why, like, maybe it's a little bit over the top with the kind of gold elements to it and the big hair. But apart from that, I think it's a very sophisticated age.
And I've just seen that Peter Hogg has signed up to the academic agency. I've seen that various other people have. So you too can sign up to Foundations of Economics. Yours now for only £350. Or you can get a discount if you're on the Thomas Sowell suit tier. Go to the community tab. All right. Now that we'll get up the super chats, and we'll see what people have said. So Jedi Knight Anakin Cringewalker says, what are the ethics of a cozy versus a cope? What are the ethics of a cose versus a cope? So this is a cose, and how is this not a cope? Well, I just think people need a bit of escapism once in a while, don't you? What do you reckon?
Yeah, like I think a cope is specifically when your worldviews are being challenged, coming up with a narrative which, defends it. So I think there's almost something defensive about a cope. While cozy, it's just kind of like it's more whimsical than that. I think you just kind of, I just feel like taking a stroll down memory lane. It's like going through old pictures or something like that, you know.
Indeed, yeah. A cope is basically where you're actively trying to deny what's happening around you. It's like that this is fine when there's flames all around. Whereas we acknowledge there are flames all around us, but like we can't spend all our time looking at that. Otherwise, we'll go mad. So, and we are in a kind of roundabout way still looking at that same problem, only looking at it via contrast with the 80s, right? A time where in some ways things were going more right than wrong, arguably. Although some people would say the opposite. Some people would say that the 80s were the start of all of this. So we'll see. Grammatron 3000 says, the sizes get smaller, but my behind gets bigger. Jonathan Eubank says, a friend of the working man makes work go faster. Exactly, Jonathan. That's one way of looking at it. If you're watching The Deepest Law, your productivity is probably increased by 10%. Of course, your productivity could be increased by 350% if you did Foundations of Economics, because you'd understand what productivity is for a start if you did that course. Jacob says, suggestion for the next art stream, have guests rank best to worst and explain why ancient Greek, Gothic, Byzantine, Baroque, and Rococo, Dada, Art Deco, Futurism, Neo-Futurism, Bauhaus, Romanticism, Renaissance, and Mannerism. So basically, like, which ones of those are better or the worst? I've got a funny feeling if I asked John Dee to do that he'd refuse and say that there is good and bad art in every movement, in every decade, and he'd probably refuse to do it. Do you think that's true, Farah? I think John Dee would refuse to do that sort of exercise.
Well, the thing is, he would refuse to initially, but then he definitely has a certain penchant for certain of those ages. If you follow Mr. D on Twitter, he often is quite wonderful. In the morning, he'll give you a few like a small selection of his like art picks for the day, and he definitely does have a certain taste. But it's because he's such an erudite man, he knows art from all ages. But
I dissed medieval art in the Deep Law once, and he had a go at me. He was like, no, actually medieval art's really good, and so on and so forth. But I feel like early 20th century is his bag. If I was to pick an era,
yeah,
Dadaists and that kind of era.
I definitely think so. I think he's less keen on maybe like 19th century Victorian narrative, but I do think there are ages which are stronger. Stronger than others, and so I would try and rank them. But I think that's a stream in itself to try and work out what you would pick, basically.
Someone saying you didn't pitch your course enough today. More pitch, more. You are being sarcastic, surely. I feel like I pitched it. I feel like I've shilled it quite a lot. but anyway, yeah, do Foundations of Economics. It'll teach you so much about all sorts of aspects of economics that you've probably never thought of. Like the nature of cost, for example. Is cost even real? I spent a whole hour or spend at least half an hour looking at that question. Is it real or is it just a state of mind? Questions to be asked. Years the Eunuch says, this stream makes me want candy, salted butter, booze, and fast food. It's promoting poor health. And Papa Boris will shut it down. You've been warned. Well, I mean, yeah, talk about how things have changed, eh? Jedi Knight Anakin Cringewalker says, look at the Lincoln Project ad for Trump and regeneration for inspiration. Have you seen that?
Yeah, just on that, it could be worth bringing it up because it's pretty funny. It's like an 80s spoof of COVID. I've just put it in the private StreamYard's chat, but it's kind of like a, you know how there's a bit of an 80s aesthetics thing going on over the last couple of years. It's definitely in that vibe, but I've seen it before. It's very, very funny. Really worth bringing up.
Okay, I'll play that in a minute. Do you know? I've noticed that that kind of 80s Tron thing that goes on. Like, first of all, PJW picked it up from various edgier characters, but now I've seen it go all the way. Like, I've seen like some pretty mainstream shows like use that now.
I'm trying to remember
who it was that used it. But yeah, that's kind of gone mainstream, but I feel like it's something that's come from the right, which is an interesting little development.
Definitely. Like, the thing is, I think just in terms of our future, I think the right has more ability in the arts and culture space, because the inevitability of the kind of woke culture is that you'll never be able to create anything edgy, never be able to create anything new or interesting. They're always just going to create this this dross. So again, this is one of our big vectors of attack. Although one thing I would say is that the kind of art, it's not really 80s. It's like a bit of a spoof of 80s, isn't it? So
Grammatron 3000 says, speaking of advertising, shout out to uBlock. Sensum Comenium says, it's nice to see adverts that reflect reality, not the product necessarily, but no coffee and cream families in the 80s like they all are now. Well, I mean, they did have coffee and cream, but just of a different variety, as we've been seeing. I wouldn't say these adverts reflect reality, though. As I was saying, your average bloke in Middlesbrough is miles away from this stuff that we're seeing here. It's definitely aspirational and selling an idea and a dream, but I guess it's selling things that speak to people's natural instincts rather than these days, which is much more sinister in trying to actually mold and shape and engineer society in a different way. I feel like these adverts are with the grain of human nature, whereas advertising today is in some strange way pushing against the grain of human nature, if that makes any sense. Would you agree with that, Farah?
Yeah, no, definitely.
And JS says, ads from an age when Trump was cool. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Donald Trump is literally out of this world, isn't he? He is literally a guy from the Wall Street of this time, or the, you know, the real estate industry of this time. And JS says, 80s aspirational vibe equals buy your own council house. Indeed, buy your own council house in Middlesbrough and then buy Black Magic and Baileys. And I bet you there were some people who did that as well. Okay, let's get back to it then. We'll watch this Trump advert first, and then we'll get back. And I've just discovered the hide button, which I didn't know about before. But once I hide it, how do I get it back? Who knows?
Hi, perhaps you recognize me. It's your favorite president. I got back a day ago from Walter Reed Medical Center. I went in, I wasn't feeling so hot. And within a very short period of time, they gave me Regeneron. A short 24 hours later, I was feeling great. And that's what I want for everybody. If you're in the hospital and you're feeling really bad, Regeneron. We have hundreds of thousands of doses that are just about ready. You're going to get better. You're going to get better really fast. Regeneron. Because I feel great. I feel like perfect. I want to get for you what I got. Regeneron. And you'll see some amazing things happen. You're going to get better. You're going to get better fast, just like I did.
It's pretty good. Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, I think it's just a bit of a spoof of the past, maybe. But
let's I want Regeneron. Okay. Oh yeah, don't let them get away with it. Expel Magpie.
You
are so beautiful. Here we go again.
Beautiful, the new fragrance from Estee Lauder.
I mean, this is about the 10th of perfume advert we've seen. Again, it's clearly she's getting married. She's in a country setting, but it's kind of reveling in her beauty, and it's saying, yeah, you embrace that. This is what you want. What's the problem with it? The other thing I was going to say was, what about the claim? I can imagine some people saying these aspirational adverts are step one on the road to what then became in the 90s girl power, and then, you know, step three is like, you know, Maisie Williams today.
I'm not sure about that personally, if I'm honest with you. Like, think back to, you know, this has been going on for a real long time. So why at this point? Why is this the trigger point? Why is it not earlier? Why is it not? Yeah, those first ads. So
people are saying that you know, literally she's just having a white wedding and she's happy with it, and this is, you know, someone said this wants to make me cry, you know, I mean,
it's definitely wholesome.
But is that because this image would never be projected today?
Probably. Or again, I think people's viewpoints have changed quite a lot around it as well. So, you know, that isn't their idea of that moment anymore, you know?
Now available at Rackham's, Cavendish House and Pins.
Now what's got more than it had before?
Than it had before.
What you call the extra you get for nothing?
No!
Where can you put a whole lot more?
Oh, look at that. You're getting 10% free. Not 20% less, like today. 10% more. I'd like that. Other than that, that was probably the worst advert we've seen so far.
That's true.
You have 10 seconds to rearrange this bacon into a well-known tasty breakfast.
Sometimes driving is more rewarding when experienced at second hand. Intercity. We're getting there.
Yeah, again, a guy having the space to sit and chill out on a train just wouldn't be seen today.
No.
Oh, no. I mean, is this not the beginning of the end? Isn't this anti-culture? This mall?
That's true. Definitely.
The Kingfisher Shopping Centre at Redditch. Everything under the sun. Including the palm trees.
Oh dear, oh dear.
I use mine to heat up pizza.
Oh no!
Tomato pizza. I eat up those frozen pizzas.
If you're using your microwave for the same old thing, take a look at Microwave Know-How. Each week, step-by-step pictures give you the know-how to get more from your microwave.
Oh,
in week one, the basic techniques, shielding, turning, covering, how to cook perfect vegetables and give them that finishing touch, and special recipes like chocolate ice cream cake and wine poached haddock. Get the know-how and soon you'll be...
jamming, roasting, pasta, making, lemon pudding, baking, caking.
All it takes is know-how from micro...
Absolutely cursed. Can you imagine making... pizza in the microwave, haddock in the microwave, haddock.
Well, I think there is something interesting here, and that is around the kind of cooking TV that's around. So if you think about like the 60s and 70s, there's like Mary Berry and like almost like country cooking. Well, this is all about like luxurious cooking. How can you create this amazing chocolate trifle at home, for example? Or how can you create, you know, like a chicken, whatever, the chicken with the tiny hats or whatever. And to get that experience, all you need to do is buy a microwave. So again, I think this is the biggest lie out of all of the adverts we've seen before, because I can tell you now, even John Dee would not be able to make any of those things using a microwave alone.
I bet you John Dee does not own a microwave. I know he owns an Arga. I know that much, but I doubt he owns a microwave.
Wave know-how.
Dive into your Pickford's travel shop for last-minute bargains. No other travel agent can sell you a holiday cheaper. Pickford's Travel, the pick of the travel people.
I feel like we've hit a batch of adverts that are the elitism has gone downhill rapidly here in this section.
Yeah, true. Although travel was like considered luxurious, so and again that's why the idea of these kind of travel agents almost like being butlers for your travel experience, and again them wearing their kind of jackets and stuff like that is you know, it's meant to be like evoke thoughts of classiness, but you're definitely right.
You notice this watching old James Bonds, like the idea of being in a hotel with a big pool and, you know, deck chair, you know, in the 60s was height of luxury.
Yeah.
And that probably became mainstreamed in the 80s.
Yeah.
This is Mum's new wallpaper. We said we'd help. She said our help was all she needed. So we got stuck in. Mum was really getting the hang of it. And she said it was time we had a Milky Way. We think Milky Ways are magic. They're all milk chocolate on the outside and whipped up light and fluffy in the middle. She said she'd better be quick because Dad would be home for tea soon.
Milky Way, the sweet you can eat between meals without ruining your appetite.
So this is the first product that has been directly marketed at Cockney urchin children.
Well, yeah, there's the vernacular tone, and also you're personified as the children. I like how the woman of the household is expected to put up the wallpaper, which I think probably not a great idea. sorry, feminists. But again, it's just evoking the household. It's the treat that you get from doing hard work. I thought it was a nice wholesome advert, if a little bit too kind of like, oh, I'm a Cockney lad.
The kids' accent did you ever see that film Bedknobs and Broomsticks with Angela Lansbury? Yeah. The kids in that are really kind of little Cockney kids, and yep. The kid here sounded a lot like him, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So there we go.
Home Pride introduced new classic Chinese sauces.
Ah, Home Pride man fled. Please allow me. Observe, honorable viewers, delicious ingredients like pineapple, ginger, fine sherry, spices, hoisin, and soy sauces.
Ooh, soy sauce.
Compared to traditional Chinese.
I'm fairly certain the voiceover there is Bert Kwok of Harry Banzai. Hill and and Banzai, and also with Pink Panther fame. Yes. He was in all of those things.
Recipe to help you make inspired Chinese dishes. Okay, Fred?
No, I'm Bert.
Oh, so sorry. All Home Pride men look same to me.
Home Pride.
it's quite a good little advert. Yeah.
No, I thought it was good. Again, it's kind of like you're getting the taste of China in a pot. Again, there's this explosion of, you know, different flavors happening at this this time period, and you don't have to go to the Chinese restaurant. You can take it, you can make it at home. Again, so it's about taking the kind of luxury experience of a restaurant meal, making it cheaper.
Why is it, oh wise one, that you never shave?
The enlightened are often sensitive, grasshopper, to the blades of the human world.
But have you not heard of Big Orange, master?
Big Orange? Oh,
yes, master. Same big value, same wrong rusting braid, but angled for sensitive.
Big Orange, the sensitive skin razor for the truly enlightened.
Available at reading chemists and supermarkets.
What do you think of that one?
I mean, I'm not going to comment on some of the, like the accents that he was said. It's pretty like would not definitely not be allowed today. But again, I think that they were like, oh, you know, who needs to shave loads? Probably Buddhist monks. So let's go for that. And they're also orange, so that works perfectly. I mean, I think it's one of those ideas that was like it seems good on paper, but it's I think pretty bad.
Nowadays, everyone's at it. Weightlifting, gymnastics, or just a bit of light exercise. But you've got to watch what you eat. So Ross have made jacket scallops. Slices of potato with the jackets kept on because of the fibre. You know the fibre. Jacket scallops with that real baked potato taste.
Ross jacket scallops. Champion.
I love the champion. That's great. Again, it's interesting, the vernacular coming through there.
Yeah, no, and also the idea that these are good for you, that you actually, as part of a health kick, you'd want to get these, you'd want to get these jacket Rosses. So let's keep on going. But you can see the self-improvement angle starting as well.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
Where the capital R.
We have penguins entered a rally. We hoped that we would come first.
But the peregrine was driving, so of course the tire burst was a marvel.
We saw some other penguins up in a cable car.
They had a pair of binoculars and watched the affair from afar.
We had to ring up to be with you, so if you don't want any fuss, don't pick up the 650 penguins, don't pick up the ones like us.
Where's everybody gone?
Oh, look, a butter. Now, what do you think of that? Obviously, Lerpak is an inferior butter to Shergar, but
it's pure Danish subversion. No, it's interesting. The that kind of like butter character went on right into the 90s. So again, it was quite a long campaign. It did very well, but again, I think it's just like whenever you see those personifications, it's because again, I think in the 90s they had it as like some kind of trombone player or something. It was always quite a classy guy, and again, you hear the music in the background. I thought that was quite like. Lerpak's always tried to be quite aspirational, even today. Their adverts are kind of like trying to evoke the feeling of delicious cooking that you get with it with the butter. But I like the kind of fireside, the toast. You've got the full, retinue of breakfast paraphernalia, which you'd only get in like a middle class household. So again, I think there is something aspirational about it.
Lucy, my beloved, seems to have over-oxygenated her aerobics class, so she's decided to have 20 minutes under the sun lamp browning. These days, everything has to be brown. Brown rice, brown bread. Well, I'm keeping up with the browns, too. With these new wool sausages for the microwave.
God's sake.
They're pre-cooked. So a couple of minutes in the micro, and they come out piping hot and perfectly brown. And they taste just like good old bangers. No mess and no evidence that anything but celery hearts and nut cutlets were ever here. Now, that's what I call Nouvelle Cuisine.
Wars. Food you can really fancy.
Now, what's interesting here is that this is the first... loads of money that we've come across. Essentially, an old working class boy who's done good under Thatcher.
Yeah.
And he's probably married... Do you remember in Only Fools and Horses, Raquel? Do you remember Rodney married Raquel?
No.
Not Raquel. Was it Cassandra? Cassandra. In Only Fools and Horses, Rodney married a middle-class girl, basically.
Okay,
and she was constantly kind of trying to bring him up type thing. And clearly this guy has done well for himself. And his wife is a bit like this. But he's like sneaking a few microwave sausages in.
I like it. It's him returning to his tradition of sausage eating. There you go. That's revolting against the middle class bourgeois nature of his circumstance.
Yeah. However, microwaving sausages is cursed.
Yeah. Walls is the worst sausage brand. So.
Yeah. Where is Richmond? I rate the Richmond.
Oh no.
No. What's wrong with the Richmond?
It's sort of horrible as well. Horrible sausages.
Oh, I kind of like the multi-taste of them, although probably the best brand that I buy from when I do my Ocado shops is called Saint Edward's of Conway or something like that. That's a pretty decent sausage if you get the chipolata version of that from Ocado. So yeah, all right.
Ocado needs you, I think, for their kind of like elitist luxury adverts. And it's kind of you shopping on Ocado, you're buying those luxury sausages, you're getting the Charlie Binghams. It's a real aspirational advert, I can imagine.
If you clean your kitchen with a product that's too harsh, this is what might happen. Jif is different. Jif lifts even tough stains and leaves surfaces feeling like new. Jif, with the power to clean right through to the shine.
I seem to remember Jif became Sif at one point, didn't it?
Yeah, it's when it got bought by Unilever, they often export the brand names internationally. And I think Jif was like a rude word in Spanish or something like that. You often find that where they have problems with translating the word.
I've just seen there's a chap called Economics Explained in my I haven't seen that channel before, but I'd be interested to see how he explains economics. I hope he's not Keynesian. So let's keep on going.
What makes M&M's the perfect chocolate to enjoy anywhere, anytime? Maybe it's because they're made with real milk chocolate, or because they're covered with a crisp, colorful shell. Or maybe it's simply because with M&M's, the milk chocolate melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
What do you think of that one? That's the first American advert we've seen.
Well, I think, are they referencing like Full Metal Jacket? Is that out by
yeah, then? Yeah. I'm pretty sure it'd been out for a few years, yeah.
Yeah, so again, I wonder if it's some British guys made that and they're trying to position M&M's as specifically like an American brand. So it's kind of like bigging up the Americanness, talking through the, the one USP. Although I'm pretty sure, doesn't it just like, the colour rub off in your hand, so I think it's a bit cheeky them talking about there's no chocolate in your hand, so.
Yeah, I think M&M's were a bit melty as well.
A ceramic hob that cooks by the heat of light. The energy-efficient halogen hob, so easy to control, so...
I just want to mention that I hate electric hobs.
Yeah, same. Gas forever.
Halogen hob, an amazing way to cook electric.
The bottle's green, but don't adjust your set. It's new Domestos Fresh for the directable jet. It kills germs dead, and it clings real well. What's so new? It's got a fresh smell. Big gum. So when cleaning your toilet, just follow your nose. Choose one of the bathroom's big heroes. Because remember, folks, whether green or blue, there's no meaner germ killer. And you lose Big Dom. Big Bad Dom.
I just respect the fact that they're just trying to sell you the product. They're not trying to re-engineer the entire world.
It's interesting with the music, because again, it's kind of like tapping into that... 50s scuffleboard stuff as well. I wonder if it's like mums who grew up in that age.
I think it's probably like a Johnny Cash kind of idea.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Every day life's a little brighter. Purcell Automatic gets it whiter. Fresh clean clothes to begin each new day. Hey, hey, hey. Every day looks a little whiter. Every way colors are brighter. That's the way Purcell Automatic gets you washing clean.
Purcell Automatic gives you superb results on everything you wash. It's tested and approved by all these machine makers.
Bright and white, the Purcell Automatic way. Hey, hey, hey.
Pretty wholesome, don't you think?
Very wholesome. Again, it's like a normal family. Again, the guy leaving and then coming back for the kiss. Again, that's great, great little moment. And again, it's like showing the product off, and like here's the effect of the product in a really efficient and smart way. So again, just purely about the product in a nice way.
Again, I'm just thinking what Daughter of Albion could do with some of these adverts.
Right, where's this lot from then, Collins?
The planet Zanussi.
Oh, yes, fine. Zanussi freezers, washing machines, tumble dryers, dishwashers.
Morning.
Ah, now take this fridge freezer. How often do you get craftsmanship like that down here, eh?
Not very often.
And they're all reliable, economical.
I don't know how they do it.
It's the appliance of science, isn't it?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes. Right, take it away, lads.
From Zanussi. The appliance of science.
See, there's always been this weird idea that, like, the continent, but specifically Germany, Switzerland, some of these kind of countries, they just do science really well. You know, it's something they do over there. There's something about that in this advert, I think.
Yeah, well, what I like is it takes the kind of the whatever the brand name, which would have been at the time very foreign to the average Brit, and then it turned it into something funny. So it's kind of like, oh, it sounds like it's out of this world. You know, this could be technology from aliens. You know, so I think it's quite a clever inversion of, or like a clever usage of how people would react to it. And again, then leaning in even further and saying, oh, it's almost like we just purely applied science. And again, I think, like you said, I do wonder whether our perception. I think there's a whole thing around, you know, German engineering. I swear that those Audi adverts from the 80s and 90s, you know, caused a mental shift in the average Englishman to make them think that German engineering is good. Because again, like 70 years ago, you know, obviously German engineering was good, but English engineering would be better. You know, we invented loads of quality stuff while we think only the Germans can do it now. So I think that advert definitely has something to say for that.
I note that David Icke fans would note that this is Saturn. Were you in the Deep Lore that day where I grabbed that David Icke book and it was all about like how Saturn imagery is hidden everywhere? something weird about the planet Saturn. Appalling book. If you ever, don't bother. That's what I'd say.
It's now or never.
The Allied Carpet's Now or Never sale lifts off Monday with prices that will never be repeated. 25 to 50% off after sale prices on a huge selection of carpets like Axminster's, Wilton's, Twist Piles, Saxony's, and Pure Wool's. Plus, many first come, first serve specials at half roll price.
It's looking good.
Allied's Now or Never sale starts Monday.
The idea of space traveling thing also, I mean, obviously, 1969 was the kind of high watermark of it, but I feel like that had a very long afterlife as well. That this is still this is still kind of tapping into that in a way.
I can't quite see the connection. Maybe it's kind of like the prices are lifting off or something. But Allied Carpet started that sale in the 80s, and then it seems like they've continued them every single day. Like the carpet stores, there's something that's always in sale, you know. And the problem with something like that is that you get sale fatigue after like the first 2 months. So
has anyone ever bought a sofa at full price? They're always like half 50% off, you know.
Yeah.
9 a.m. sharp.
On the road ahead, the aerodynamic shape of the Austin Metro. And stick to the road like cat's eyes. The shape feels bigger inside than out. The shape goes 12,000 miles without...
Is it just me, or is this not working at all? Is that...
Yeah. 80s car aesthetics, for me, it's just not good, basically. They love the square. It's almost like a brick that's just brick with wheels on. And like you, like all of the effects look really great, and then you see the car, and it's like, oh, that's a terrible car.
Austin Metro, the shape.
They're trying to do the outrun thing with it, but it's just doesn't work with a car.
Yeah, for the road ahead.
Kellogg's Raisin Smith.
Raisin in the mail.
It's a taste sensation. A wheat and raisin celebration.
In a perfect square.
The taste is something beyond
compare. I feel like this guy needs to be memed. I like the idea of him. I like the idea of this guy.
Raisin in the mail. Kellogg's Raisin Smith.
That adds, just stopping, if you stop a second, it's like, that's more like late 80s, and that's more what I remember in like the 90s. It's kind of like Happy Family with, you know, eating cereal together, like not that sophisticated, but just kind of like eat the cereal, basically.
Yeah, and I feel like, because clearly when we first started, it was mid to early 80s, wasn't it, the early advert, and we've clearly gone into the second half of the decade, and it's become less elite and more family orientated as we've gone on, hasn't it? I mean, look at the incidental mess of this guy's bed, for example. this is not an elite, but let's carry on.
Working hard enough.
Where are you going?
I'll show you where. Come on.
At Barclays, the money you save goes to work. Millions of people save with Barclays. In fact, we have twice as many savers as borrowers, and more ways to save than you ever thought. If you want your money to do more work, then we believe you're better off saving with Barclays.
Possibly the most wholesome advert we've seen of all. Literally, like, promoting saving and not spending.
I know, it's like, yeah, Keynes does not approve. It's very sad that, like, again, I hate the banking adverts today. I have particular dislike for the Lloyd's ones with the running horses. It's just like, it's just so meaningless and pointless. Like, this is what a bank is about. It's about putting money in and getting a slight return on it. That's making your money work harder. I think it's just nice.
But I think at one point there was like a 15% interest rate under Thatcher. I mean, there is no interest rate anymore. So sadly, they couldn't even run this advert now if they wanted to.
Yeah.
There is no interest rate.
Exactly. I like also how, like, they had the woman was speaking to him, and apparently that wasn't enough. And so she had to astrally project some kind of soul spirit of herself to whisper into his ear. And that was the point that convinced him. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah. Also, I've just realised that he went straight from bed wearing his pyjamas into the bank.
Yeah.
All right. Let us continue. I'll do like one or two more, and then we'll hit the super chat and get out of here, I think.
No, it's a life insurance policy.
Aren't they normally called boredom?
Well, this one's different. You can change freedom as your life changes.
Fancy a change, do you?
No, but one day I might want to get married and have children.
So you're single?
Or I might want to increase my mortgage.
And got your own place.
For the time being, though, I use freedom as a way of saving.
Money as well. Tell me more.
Yeah. See for yourself.
Going on holiday, are we?
No, it's a life insurance policy.
Oh, that sounds most interesting. I've always thought it was a fascinating subject.
Dial 100.
I think this is possibly the first and only time where, you know, like, life insurance has been like sold as a sexy product, literally.
Really funny. But also, again, unapologetically hierarchical and disparaging of the nerd, which you don't see anymore. Now the nerd is upheld and kind of venerated, whereas the nerd was looked down upon in that time.
Yeah, also it was interesting because, again, you've got the kind of like well-spoken older gentleman and then the kind of new money Cockney speaking woman who's just obsessed with money, which, again, I thought was a little bit condescending but quite funny as well. So.
Yeah. I think there's also a suggestion that they might get together.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he was loving it, so yeah.
Free phone Freedom Life Insurance from Guardian Royal Exchange.
This is the man who put his money on odds and it came up evens, who backed Liverpool and Arsenal won in the last minute. Luckily, this is the man with an Express Millionaires Club card. Start playing in tomorrow's Daily Express and you could win £1 million. £1 million. Don't miss your chance in tomorrow's Daily Express.
So if you've messed, if you've blown all your money, you're gambling. You can try to make it up gambling some more.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, you should learn your lessons and stop gambling. That's the life lesson there, Daily Express.
Right, that's it.
If you want to keep in touch, Artus takes care of it.
Yeah, okay.
That was just good. Again, it's just like focusing on the problem that, you know, the problem Argos has got. Like, it's not really bigging up the range or the advantage of Argos, though. That's the only thing I'd say.
LucasAid, with the great taste of real orange juice and barley. LucasAid, orange barley.
Yeah, this was Daley Thompson, of course, the Olympic athlete. He sold LucasAid for years. I even remember, like, into the 90s, Daley Thompson was still flogging LucasAid. I had a ZX Spectrum game called Daley Thompson's Olympic Challenge. It was one of those waggle the joystick games where you have to go back and forth on the joystick to get the kind of reps up before you do a hurdle or before you do the long jump or whatever. And there were training montages with like LucasAid on the screen, like next to Daley Thompson. So yeah.
Nestle Original Dairy Crunch, smooth chocolate, crispy rice.
White Dairy Crunch, the smoothest white chocolate with crispy rice.
Relax. With the heavenly taste of white chocolate and crispy rice.
White Dairy Crunch from Nestle.
Very odd advert.
The crunch?
Very strange.
The puppies treat you as their mother. They trust you with their well-being. Pedigree Chum Puppy Food and Small Bite Mixer leaves nothing to chance. It has the correct balance with good quality protein, vitamins, minerals, everything a puppy needs. They love it.
For nourishment you can see in a dog, from a puppy through to fully grown, Pedigree Chum. Top breeders recommend it.
And I saw in the corner there, we're up to 1989 now. I'm sure these are chronological, these adverts.
Yeah.
Last one. See, that felt very modern, that advert. Almost like it was a 90s advert to me than an 80s one.
Again, that's probably the classiest Asda one I've seen for a little while. Again, it's just like you see the subtle hints of children in the background showing that she's a mum. She's enjoying some wine. So it's kind of like a little bit aspirational. But yeah, I quite like, I thought that compared to the, I don't know if you've seen the latest Asda advert or it was like during lockdown, it was just some random guy supposedly filming his own. It was like one of the worst adverts I've ever seen in my life. Anyway.
Yeah, so last couple of super chats before we settle up here. I thought this was good fun. Akuda Daimo says, all this arguing about sausage brand, I buy local from my local butcher from the marketplace. Hashtag support your local. Hashtag help the milkman. Indeed. Although I think that St. Edward's brand that you can get from Ocado is quite local. I don't think you can get it from anywhere else. It's a bit like Shergar Butter. So you are, I do kind of support a local butcher somewhere. Benjamin Rood says, electric hobs are useless. Microwaves are haram. Benjamin Rood also says, love me gas, love me Jif, love me M&Ms, simple as. Hollow 1916 says, I'm appalled by the clear lack of diversity in these adverts. I'm glad we've left our racial past behind. It's Hegelian dialectics, nothing personal. JS says, sofa ads use tiny models to make them look bigger. Is that true?
Probably. That, again, there's loads of sneaky little tricks that they use to, you know, make stuff bigger, look bigger and more appealing.
And Die Hard Doogie says, watch the Tom Baker Prime Computer ad. Okay. Let's do that then. And then we'll get out of here, I think. Tom Baker Prime Computer ads. Presumably these are from the 70s if he was still Doctor Who. Let's have a look.
Doctor, the universe is about to end.
What?
We need the orbital coordinates of 900 planets of the constellation of Castorberus in 17 seconds.
17 seconds?
16.
Constellation of Castorberus in how many seconds?
11.
Good interaction so far. 900 planets?
10.
Excellent response.
Come on, Doctor.
900 planets in how many seconds?
3.
3 seconds?
1 second, Doctor.
1 second? Well done, Prime.
Prime computer.
Not so loud.
Do you like it?
Do I like it? I love it. Is it really a Prime computer?
Do you know about them?
Know about them? I've seen them on Gallifrey in the constellation of Castorberus. Ha ha! At last, I'm up to date.
Would you like to be introduced? It's terribly interactive.
Interactive? You mean immediate response?
Immediate.
Okay, Prime. How long's my scarf?
Well, it's not that impressive.
What? And 7 computer languages and 5 protocols.
Protocols?
Yes. That's how it talks to other computers.
It talks to other computers?
Well, of course it does. It's a Prime. You're going to be all right, kid.
I wonder if anyone had a Prime computer.
I don't know if you saw that. You need all of that stuff to go with it, don't you? Because it's those are the old memory banks, aren't they? The tape memory, which takes up so much space. So I don't know if anyone probably had it. It's like banks and stuff would have it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Pharaoh. I don't know if you've got anything in the pipeline you want to mention before we get out of here.
We've got a Foundations of Architecture podcast happening this Sunday. Make sure you tune in to hear the latest. We're up to the High Gothic now. So if you can't get enough of that culture fix, tune in at roughly 8 to 9 on Sunday.
And I've just seen that Liam has just signed up to Foundations of Economics. So have a look in the show notes. You'll get the link there. And level up your econ knowledge. And hopefully we learned a thing or two about advertising today as well. Or certainly we learned about the 80s. And I'll see you all tomorrow night for the Cigar Stream. Bye, everyone.